Let's turn our attention this morning to God's Word. This morning we're going to look at the subject of prayer. Why we pray, what prayer is, what our basis for prayer, where that comes from. And before we dig in, I think it would be appropriate if we prayed. So let's bow together and ask for God's help. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You that You are the great I Am and that You have invited us into Your presence to speak with You. God, You've called us to be a people of prayer, a people who communicate with You, who lift our requests to You, who believe in You and trust You to do what You promised You would do. God, so often we find ourselves doubting, questioning, weak in faith, slow of heart to believe what You have said. So God, we pray that You would cure our hard hearts, that You would open our ears to Your truth, that You would open our minds to Your ways, that You would help us to fall more deeply in love with You, that our relationship with You would be more rich and sweet and intimate, that we would not be afraid or hesitant or doubtful to bring our requests and our doubts and our questions and our needs to You. Lord, grant us a greater confidence to pray. Lord, grant us the discipline that we need to discipline ourselves to set aside time and a place to seek Your face. God, we pray that we, as Your people, would be a people characterized by prayer. Lord, it's not something that is always easy or comes naturally. So, Lord, we need Your help. We need Your guidance. We need Your wisdom. We need to hear what You want to say to us this morning. So we ask that You would have Your way here today, that You would speak Your truth into our ears, and that we would respond. And, Lord, that we would be shaped and molded into the image of Your Son, Jesus, who had the most intimate communication with His Father and demonstrated what prayer looks like. So God, we ask that You would help us this morning to think clearly and to live deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer. We, as the people of God, are called to pray. We are to be a people of prayer. Prayer is to characterize the church of God. We must pray, and we need to pray. It's interesting if you look at the early church. After the ascension of Jesus, in Acts 1:14, it says the disciples devoted themselves to prayer. Devoted themselves to prayer. In the early church, prayers, alongside of the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of bread, those are the things that the early church devoted themselves to. The apostles even turned over some of the physical ministry of the church to others so that they could devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. We saw in Acts chapter 12, earnest prayer sets prisoners free. In fact, Peter, having been sprung from jail by an angel, shows up at the prayer meeting at someone's house. And They're hesitant to let him in because they're busy praying that he would be released. It's an interesting story. It's also interesting to watch the response of the guards when they went into the jail to bring their prisoner out that wasn't there anymore. Prayer sets prisoners free. If we want victory over the forces of evil, Jesus told us that the power for that victory comes only through prayer. Why couldn't we cast this demon out? This kind comes out only through prayer. When God told Ananias to go visit Saul of Tarsus, this guy who had been severely persecuting the church, Ananias was understandably afraid. God encouraged him, look, he's praying. Evidence of a changed life. Look, he's praying. When Jesus demonstrated his fury by making a whip of cords and driving people out of the temple, it was because he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. We see the scenes in Revelation around the throne of God. The prayers of the saints are being poured out as incense before the throne of God. Over and over again in Scripture, we are called to pray. And great promises are attached to our praying. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is probably a familiar verse to you. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Jesus commanded that we pray. Matthew 5:44, I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Pray then like this. As the disciples asked, teach us, Lord, to pray. And he gave them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 9, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Pray earnestly. Matthew 26, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. Luke 18, verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Pray always. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't become discouraged. Prayer is essential, and we are commanded to pray. Now, I believe that we will be more inclined to pray and more determined and more disciplined to pray if we understand a little bit about what prayer is and how it works. So that's where we're going this morning. I think we'll be more effective in our praying if we understand how to effectively wield the weapon of prayer. I say weapon the weapon of prayer, because prayer is listed in the description of the spiritual armor that every believer is to take up in Ephesians chapter 6. Why don't you look at that passage with me? Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Down in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Put on the whole armor of God. Praying. Praying, put it on. R. Kent Hughes, in his book, Disciplines of the Godly Man, describes the scene of a soldier preparing for battle. His heart pounds, ka-thump, ka-thump, under his metal breastplate. As he steadies himself, he hitches up his armor belt and scuffs the earth like a football player with his studded boots, testing his traction. He repeatedly draws his great shield across his body in anticipation of the fiery barrages to come. Reflexively, he reaches up and repositions his helmet. He gingerly tests the edge of his sword and slips it back into his scabbard. The enemy approaches. Swords pulled from their scabbards ring in chilling symphony. The warriors stand motionless, breathing in dreadful spasms. And then the believing soldier does the most astounding thing. He falls to his knees in deep, profound, petitionary prayer. For he has obeyed his divine instructions to take up what John Bunyan referred to as all prayer. All prayer. So in order to obey our divine command, our divine commander, and take up this weapon of all prayer, we need to know what it is. What is prayer? Most simply, most broadly put, prayer is conversation or talking with God. Now, to be more accurate, prayer is our side of that conversation. When we speak to God, it is called prayer. When God speaks to us, it is called divine revelation or Holy Spirit illumination as we look at God's Word. Prayer can be described as anything we say to God, whether it is worship of who He is, thanksgiving for what He has done, confession of sins, questions, concerns, desires expressed to Him, needs requested of Him. Sometimes the word prayer encompasses all of those things. Sometimes it's used separate from those other things. And when it's used exclusively, prayer is specifically the asking part of our speaking with God. Prayer is coming to God with needs that we request that He meet, calling on Him for help. Psalm 18, verse 6, puts it this way. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh. To my God I cried for help. From His temple He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears.
distress, called upon the Lord, cried for help. So prerequisite for effective prayer is an understanding of who we are in relation to our Creator. We are weak. He is omnipotent in strength. We are poor. He has every resource at His disposal. We are fools. He is all wise. We are blind. He sees all. He knows the end from the beginning. We are dependent. He is self-existent. We are helpless. He delights to stoop down and help those in need. We're miserable in that we so often turn from Him as the all-satisfying source of true joy and fulfillment. And we turn back to the fleeting pleasures of sin that we already know will leave us hollow and empty with a painfully bitter aftertaste. To put it bluntly, if we don't know ourselves to be weak, poor, foolish, helpless, blind, miserable wretches, then we won't pray. Or if we do pray, our very prayers will be an offensive stench in the nostrils of God. We may pray like the wretched Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 who said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. That is a pompous, arrogant, self-centered, self-righteous boast. It's not a prayer. I don't see any praying in that statement. Until we see our acute sinfulness and our desperate need, we can't pray as we ought to pray. If we hope to be given anything by God, we have to come as the desperate beggars that we are. That is what prayer is. Jesus told us, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We cannot come to God self-assured, self-confident, as if we had some talents or gifts or resources that He is going to be impressed with. God cannot accept us if we come to Him with our self-esteem. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We are nothing. In fact, we are worse than nothing. Nothing is I think of as neutral. We're in the negatives, way in the negatives. We were created in His image and with His dignity, but we have disfigured and distorted that image by wallowing in sin. We refuse to submit to His rightful authority. We are rebels against Him. We are enemies of the cross. We've taken His good gifts and turned and spat in His face. We've dragged His good name through the sewer. We must take our place with the tax collector in the story in Luke 18. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is true praying. Asking, crying out for mercy with a deep, heartfelt sense of our own unworthiness, our own need. desperate, needy, beggarly, yet boldly calling out to God because we know He is rich in mercy. So praying is turning away from ourselves to God in confidence that He will provide what we need. Where do we get this confidence to approach Him boldly? What makes us think that God will hear our prayers, or if He does hear them, to be disposed to answer favorably? That brings us to our next point. All our praying must be cross-centered praying. All our praying must be humble praying. All our praying must be cross-centered praying. The cross is the expression of God's mercy toward sinners. What we deserve, justice, wrath, punishment, eternal separation from a good God in hell, God poured that out on Jesus on the cross. What we don't deserve, forgiveness and welcome and kindness and favor and blessing, that's what God freely gives to us who have taken refuge in the cross of Jesus. Our only safe meeting place to meet the holy God is at the foot of Calvary. If we come on our own, if we come on any other ground, we will face the wrath of an angry God. If I come to Him on the ground of the finished work of Jesus for me, I find love and peace and hope and joy and help. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way. Nobody gets to the Father unless they go through the Son. Jesus is the only way to the Father. There is no other access. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Access to the Father. We, Jew and Gentile alike, gain access to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We have been brought near to God through the substitutionary, sin-bearing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 22. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The author of Hebrews is drawing a contrast between the Old Testament sacrificial system and Jesus, who is our great high priest, the only one we need to be a mediator between God and man. Old Testament, priest had to come in, first offering a sacrifice for his own sins, because he was a sinner, he was a man, and then for the sins of the people. He was only allowed access into the holiest place, into the God's presence, once a year on the Day of Atonement. But he wasn't allowed to stay there. He certainly wasn't allowed to sit down. And that had to be done year after year after year after year, because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. They were a foreshadowing, pointing us to Jesus and His one sacrifice, His single offering for all time. He says, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Jesus sacrificed Himself for sinners. He had no sin of His own to pay for, but He took ours. And because of the cross, God remembers our sin no more. Gone. Gone. They have been punished. All my sins have been punished. They have met God's justice, and God's justice is satisfied. Through the blood of Jesus, we now have confidence to enter the presence of God. All of us, not just the high priest, all of us, not just once a year, every day, every moment, have access to the throne. We can enter with confidence and with a clean conscience. We can even enter with boldness. Listen to Hebrews 4:16. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Because of the cross, we can be bold in prayer. We can use our blood-bought privilege to approach with confidence the throne of grace. We can cry out as needy sinners to the God of all grace, who will supply every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. He will supply every need, and He loves to do that in response to our asking. We can have confidence because, as it says in Romans 5, verse 8, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Christ didn't say, "You've got some things you need to deal with, and once you get that cleaned up, maybe we can talk." No. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if Christ died for us, while we were still sinners, what do you think He is willing to do for us now that we are His saints? He has done the infinitely hard thing in bearing my sin and in turning me from being an enemy into His friend. Now that He has already transformed us, how much easier is it for Him as our Father and as our friend to answer our requests as we ask according to His will? This is how Paul argues in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? If God did the hard thing, conquered our rebellion, made us His children, why would He not do the easy thing and bless His children in response to their cries? We have this promise from the Psalm. Psalm 84, verse 11. For Yahweh God is a sun and shield. Yahweh bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does He withhold for those who walk uprightly. That means everything that is good for you, He wants to give you if you will just ask Him. And if He doesn't give it to you, that's an indication that it's probably not good for you. He has something better in mind. We have these words of Jesus Himself. In John 14 through 16, I'll just pick a few verses out of here. John 14, 13. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. In My name, according to My character. John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you're abiding in Christ and if His Word is abiding in you, ask. By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. That's how God gets glory for Himself, as the giver. We come to Him as needy, saying, we help. We need help. We are lost. We are sunk. We are in despair. We are crying out. God says, yes, I will answer and I will show how great I am and how abundant My supply is and how overflowing My compassion is towards sinners who humble themselves and how great My love is to work through you to love those around you. By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God, fill us with the fruit of Your Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. It says in verse 16, you did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give it to you. John 16, Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say that you will, that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Do we get it? Do we get it? We have a Father who loves us. We have a Savior who died for us. And both of them are saying, ask. Inviting us, ask. I want to show up and do awesome things in your life. I want to give you victory over that sin that you just can't lick. I want to set people free around you that need to know me. I want to fill you with the fruit of the Spirit. I want your times alone with Jesus to be rich and sweet and full. I want to bless you. Come ask. I want to do things through you that you would never imagine yourself doing. Come ask. I want to show off through you. So ask. Prayer is essential. We as believers must take up the weapon of prayer if we are to stand our ground. Prayer is simply asking, coming to God empty with our needs and asking God, who is the all-sufficient source, to supply our every need. We approach in humble boldness because of the cross. We have been forgiven. We are invited. We are even commanded to come. And we bring glory to God as the giver by coming to Him empty, asking to receive. Coming with our needs, asking Him to fill us. Coming with our inability, asking Him to work through us. So let this year, let your life, let my life be characterized by a bold, humble, needy, desperate cry for help to the Almighty, all-sufficient, good giver of all things. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for speaking to us through the pages of your word. God, we need your help to remember what we heard when we walk through those doors and leave this building. Without your help, we will forget. Without your help, our lives will be no different. God, persevering prayer we know takes commitment and perseverance and discipline, and we don't have that on our own. And if we muster it on our own, it's not pleasing to you. So we ask that you would give us the strength to persevere in prayer. Give us the determination to focus our thoughts on lifting our requests to you. God, give us a clear vision of who we are as wretched, miserable, blind, poor, needy, desperate sinners who, apart from your grace and mercy, are nothing and can do nothing but damage to your name and to your kingdom and to your glory. God, forgive us for that. Thank you that there is forgiveness at the cross for all our sins. And God, I pray that we can take our stand
plant our gospel feet forgiven at the cross and stand our ground against the enemy who seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy. Give us the joy that overflows, that comes from your presence, your companionship, comes from worshiping you, crying out to you for help, and seeing your strong hand enter into our world and rock this place. God, we pray for you to act. We pray that we would have big faith, because you are a big God. Not that our faith is anything, but you are strong. And even through a little tiny mustard seed of faith, you can move mountains. So God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Help us to see you for who you are, as the all-sufficient giver who loves to give good gifts, who loves to give big gifts. Help us not to frustrate you or limit you by our lack of asking. Help us to trust you. Help us, when things don't go as we had hoped, to trust that you are wiser and more good, more loving, more gracious, more merciful, more desiring to bless us than we can ever imagine. Help us to understand the heart of our good Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.